Good evening. You are listening to 89.3 FM. My name's Garland Nixon. That means that Mark Levine must be in the studio. And normally it means that Terry Kester's
he's
in the studio.
He's on his way, Garland. He's on his way.
And I need where's Terry? He's letting me down when I really need him here. I've got the boxing gloves on, and we most weeks we gang up on Mark and beat him up a little bit. So I don't know. I'm kind of worried. I might not be able to take him by myself.
We'll find out. Go ahead. Introduce the topic, Garland.
So, what are we talking about tonight? How obvious is this? The death penalty. How obvious is this? Why? Believe it or not, we talked about what topic was going to be, and I pushed it. Terry was in favor. I pushed the death penalty. And Mark, there's a lot of important things, but he went along with us tonight.
Well, listen, a man's going to die tonight. John Muhammad, yeah. The Washington sniper, is going to die tonight. And while I will fully admit, and we're going to get into this, that I've got all kinds of procedural problems with the way the death penalty is done in America, I have to say I have no sympathy for John Muhammad, and as far as I'm concerned, he deserved to die.
Now, let me just say this. I'll start off with a little story. I started, the first radio show I ever did was on the death penalty. I was with the ACLU of Maryland, and a very conservative station said they wanted a Maryland representative to come and argue the death penalty with them. And I took this position. This is the position I take. This is where Mark and I, and a lot of people disagree with me on this. Okay. My position is this. History clearly shows that as long as we have the death penalty, we will, on the odd occasion, execute an innocent person. There's no way to argue against that. In fact, this guy in Texas just recently was executed, and it's pretty well proven that he was innocent. There's strong evidence indicating that this guy was innocent. So what I'm saying is this. We have the death penalty. As long as we have it, there's no way we're going to stop executing innocent people. Every now and then we're going to do it. You can't have a lot of people say, well, you know, but with this particular guy, we know he's guilty. So why not have it when we know the person is guilty? Well, guess what? The guy in Texas, they knew he was guilty, but they were wrong. There were people in Texas saying the same thing that Mark's saying right now. You know what? This guy killed his daughters. I have no sympathy for him. He deserves to die. But they were wrong, and he didn't deserve to die, and they can't fix it now because he's dead. Okay, let me finish, Mark. I'm on my soapbox now.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so what I'm saying is this. As long as we have the death penalty, we will, on the odd occasion, execute innocent people. There's just no way to argue against that because we've kind of always done it. So here's the question. Here is the question to Mark, to everyone else out there, to all the death penalty people that are in favor. The question is this. That being the case, do you feel that it's okay to keep the death penalty and execute an innocent person every now and then just so we can make sure we get the guilty ones? Every now and then, okay, I'm okay with it. I'm all right if we go ahead, because you do not have the option of having both. The argument that execute the guilty ones and let the innocents go, it would be great if that's an option, but you're grasping for something that is not there. That's not even a credible argument in this situation. So here is the choice. You keep the death penalty and every now and then execute an innocent person, or you get rid of it and you're sure that you're not going to execute an innocent person. My argument is this. If we execute one innocent person every 1,000 years, then it's not worth keeping the death penalty, number one. Number two, here's my question to Mark and everyone else. If you think it's okay for us to execute an innocent person every now and then to make sure we get the right ones, because that's the only option here. If you think that's okay, pick a member of your family and say, well, you know what? I'll give up my brother or my sister. Otherwise, you're asking somebody else to do that. You're saying, well, you know, we'll keep it. We'll kill an innocent person every now and then. Somebody's family, that guy had brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. So people are asking, ask his family to give up a member who is innocent. So I say, if you think it's okay to kill an innocent person, volunteer yourself. Say, well, you know what? I'm so in favor of this. I'm willing to die innocently, so we'll have it. But the argument that, well, you know, we want to, this particular guy, he really is guilty. The same argument they had in Texas for the innocent guy, I might add. It's just not a credible argument.
Can I get you off your soapbox?
No, man, I'm pissed now. No, go ahead.
The way I see it, there are three ways to look at the death penalty. All right. There are people who think the system is fine just now. It's fine. It's working. You know, kill them. It's done. There are people like you and like my former boss, Barney Frank, who will tell you, well, this wasn't your argument. Let me give you Barney's argument. It's the same argument the Catholic Church makes, that for moral reasons, it is never appropriate. No matter how guilty they are, it's never appropriate for the state to take a life. I respect that position. I don't agree with it, but we can discuss that. Then there's the middle argument, which I think is where I find it. And it's interesting because you and I both are on this middle path, although you come to the conclusion it's never justified. I come to the conclusion
it's sometimes justified. I didn't say it was never justified.
Oh, okay. Well, then we may actually agree, Garland.
It may very well be justified, here's how I see it.
Here's how I see it. I think, and I can argue this, and we may get there, that it is okay for the state to take a life. I think it should be done in very rare cases. I think it should be done pretty much only for mass murder. It's really, I don't even think rape's enough. I don't even think a single murder's enough. But I look at someone like the Washington sniper, John Muhammad, who left our entire city and environs in terror for a month, where you were afraid to even get out and get gas, you know, shot little children dead, killed dozens of people. I look at a guy like Timothy McVeigh or Osama bin Laden. And again, extreme cases. I'm not talking about, you know, the ordinary murderer here. I look at people who have conceded that they did the killings, like John Muhammad has, like Timothy McVeigh did, like Osama bin Laden has. And I say, well, there's no doubt. They have conceded it. I mean, unless some very fancy psychiatrist can convince me that the person not only didn't do the murders, but lied and said they did them, this is a person who admitted it, was proud of it, said he did the killings. So the way I see it is this. I have real procedural problems with the way the death penalty is administered in this country. And on that, I agree with you, Garland. I remember the Republican governor of Illinois stopped all executions in Illinois because in this country, a rich man can buy justice and a poor man can't. There's a reason why O.J. Simpson got off and why a guy in Texas has his lawyer fall asleep and he's still put on death row.
But why did the guy in Illinois stop
him? That's shameful. That's shameful.
Why did the governor of Illinois stop him?
He stopped them because procedurally, people were not getting justice. He had fears that someone might be innocent. So I'm going to take your argument, Garland, and raise you one.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to say that if there's any possibility someone's innocent, of course there cannot be the death penalty. But when you have a case of mass murder where the person admits to the crime, says, I did it, and I'm glad I did it, I wanted to kill them all, you know what? Maybe in that very, very rare case, somebody actually deserves to die.
Okay. If that were an option, it would be a very strong discussion point. If that were an option.
Well, no, no, no.
See, what you're
I
saying,
didn't say I support
right.
the current system.
No.
You're just asking me if I ever would support the death penalty in any case, and I would say yes in a few very rare cases, including the case of the man that's going
right.
to die tonight.
But what I'm saying is this. The option of supporting it only when people are guilty is what you're saying. Well, yeah, I support it when people are guilty, but not when they're innocent.
How about when they admit it?
Okay.
I understand
well,
an innocent
what?
Man can well, be declared
guess what?
Guilty.
Guess what? You know, I believe it was about 2000. I went to Miami, and there was a big thing going on. Because there was an individual who had killed two people on a bus, and a particular guy went to jail over it. He had done 23 years, and he had confessed. Well, the problem was this guy was borderline mentally retarded, and someone else on their deathbed admitted, "No, he didn't do it. I was the one." And let me tell you the whole story.
Has there been any suggestion that John Muhammad is mentally retarded?
No, no, no. Hear me out, Mark. Hear me out, because has nothing to do with my issue. Your issue is there's no doubt that he did it. They had a man, and they had a confession from a man, a videotape confession. Well, and guess what? This guy was mildly retarded. He didn't do it. He didn't understand what he was talking about. 23 years later, he got out of jail, but they couldn't have let him out of jail if he was dead. The issue is this, Mark.
You're talking about one case, and I'm talking about another case.
Right, and I'm saying this. If you're going to kill this guy, it's not worth having the entire death penalty. You're asking for something that you cannot get. You're making a case for the death penalty only when we're sure the person is guilty. Well, that's what we have now, Mark.
Let me ask you this.
Timothy McVeigh,
all right, bombed the Oklahoma Center building, killed 250 people, I believe, said he did it, planned for it. We know he did it. He admitted he did it. It's not just that we found him guilty. He conceded. He said, I'm glad they died. I wanted them all dead, including the children.
Okay.
He had his crazy political means,
mm-hmm.
right? Is there any doubt in your mind that Timothy McVeigh is he retarded or insane?
No.
There's no doubt.
No.
Okay. So I'm not arguing for the death penalty as it's currently conducted in America.
So as it's currently conducted in America, you think it should be stopped and done away with completely?
Well, not completely. I think.
Wait a minute. You can't do it.
I think it needs to be changed. Absolutely, it needs to be modified. It needs to be much rarer than it currently is.
Let me guess. It needs to be modified so we only kill the people that we're sure of.
Yes.
That's what we have now, Mark.
No, they only kill the people that they're sure of.
Look,
right now the system is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I would go further than that with the death penalty.
But they already have. Just think of all the things that have to go through now.
No, right now in Texas, if you're poor and your lawyer falls asleep, you can get on the death penalty. That's disgusting. Maryland has a much higher standard. That's why I think this is the first person killed by Maryland in, 30, 40, 50 years?
That doesn't mean that every now and then, and we know good and well,
But you're making a different argument, Garland, than I am. I didn't support the current system. What I'm telling you is that in a very, very rare case, and I actually think the Washington sniper fits that rare case, the man who's going to die tonight. I think Timothy McVeigh fits that rare case. In the rare case of a mass murderer who has cold-bloodedly... he shot children, saw them and saw them die, and has admitted the act. And there's he can't even find a psychologist to argue he's insane or retarded or there's nothing there. In that rare case, I think that I think you can forfeit a life.
Let me, interesting.
I'm not going to argue that it's a deterrent. Some people death penalty.
No, sociopaths. No, I'm not going to argue
it's a deterrent. I actually think it's and it's people, and I want to hear from the callers because they may jump down my throat at 202-580-0893 on this. I actually think it fulfills a bit of society's need for revenge. This may sound shocking to you.
Well, we'll get some callers for that.
No. This may sound shocking to you, but I want you to think back.
Schmerber versus California.
I want you to think back.
Shocking to the conscience of the community.
I would say that 99% of the people hearing my voice right now, maybe 90% because WPFW has a pretty large signal, remember 2-3 years ago when you were afraid to drive. You were afraid to go outside. You were afraid to go to an ATM. You were afraid to go to a gas station. He not only killed dozens of innocent people, he terrorized hundreds of thousands of people, including you, including me.
I'm not arguing with that.
Did you go to gas and do the little zigzag?
Oh, yeah. I remember it.
That's right. They tell you to, because someone could be watching you and killing you, and think about how terrified children were. I think as a statement of society that what he did is beyond even simple murder. But something so beyond the pale that we want to be clear that this is absolutely intolerable.
And I would say this.
I think that for very extreme crimes, when we know the person's admitted it, yeah.
And I would say the guy in Texas that burnt the house up with his two daughters, that was an extreme crime. It was horrible.
Not as extreme as what
this guy
did.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
And he needed to be executed. There was only one problem. He didn't do it.
Well, that's different.
See what I'm saying? You're arguing for an option that's not available. You're arguing for what we have now, allegedly.
I'm not arguing for what we have now. I'm arguing for modifying what we have now.
Here's what I'm saying. Allegedly, what we have now is a system where we only execute the guilty. That's what we have, allegedly. There is no system.
That's right.
There is no system where you're going to only execute the guilty.
Well, here's my system.
Every now and then, you're going to get an innocent one. And I say, if right now, if you're listening to it, if you say, well, you know what? I think John Muhammad should be, we should keep the death penalty, and he should be executed. I'm not arguing whether or not he should be executed. I'm arguing whether we should keep the death penalty when, in fact, we know we're going to execute innocent people. Now, if you're all for John Muhammad, my question would be this. Look at your son or your daughter or your brother, and would you say, well, you know what? My brother's sitting here next to me. We grew up. We played football. We love him. He's a great guy, whatever. But I'd sacrifice him and let him die just so Muhammad.
Garland,
no, you wouldn't
Garland,
do it.
Garland,
How can you
Garland,
ask someone
Garland,
else to do
Garland.
That?
Here's my modification, all right?
All
Here's
right.
my modification. And, you know, it's a state-by-state issue. So there are states that are far less reckless than Texas.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Things are going downhill.
Terry's in the house. So let me propose, and then Terry can jump all over me.
Okay.
So here's
jump all over you.
Not yet. Let me give my proposal
first. I'm in a little of a hurry.
Mark wants to execute you and I on my dad for last week's show.
Not yet.
Anybody along with a little CPR, I'm a little rushed.
Not yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's my proposal.
Your history, but go ahead.
Here's my proposal.
Oh, Killer Mark. Okay, there, killer.
I would take it for mass murder only. I don't even know that two counts. All right, mass murder only.
Mm-hmm.
In a case where there are not only eyewitnesses and forensic proof, but where the killer himself admits the crime. That's right. So if you don't confess, you can't get the death penalty.
The guy in Florida confessed, but he was mildly retarded. And where there's no innocent,
possible
case
didn't
do
of insanity or retardation.
You're arguing
I'm living it,
for
in other
a
words,
system
by
that,
turn.
Can't, that can't
by
happen.
Turn.
I'm limiting it probably to less than 1% of the people currently on death row.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Good
Terry.
To see you, Mark.
Yeah, what took
good
you so to long? You.
Well, let me give up the number at least so they can start lineup. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. I'm out of breath here.
Good. Relax.
Okay. Let me
I'll
calm down.
I'll give out the whole number. 202-588-0893. Go ahead, Terry.
The doctor of democracy is in the house.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry I was delayed. I was tied up with Alexandria City Council trying to prevent BRAC 133 from opening up with 6,300 jobs with no infrastructure change whatsoever and destroying my neighborhood. But that's another issue, Jim Moran. Anyway. It so happens, I'm really glad we're talking about this, because it so happens tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on What's at Stake, I will be interviewing John Allen Muhammad's attorney. And as you know, John Allen Muhammad will be executed in approximately 1 hour and 44 minutes by lethal injection, retribution. I have been studying the case, which I have not studied prior to these last few days. My question, of course, is to you, would you execute someone who is mentally ill?
No.
Okay. Well, it turns out that one, yes, that Muhammad, or John Allen Muhammad, for all the horrendous crimes that he did, and there's no doubt about that, there's pretty surely no doubt about that. But anyway, Gulf War Syndrome is the first thing. He's had MRI scans and CAT scans from 1988 through 2003 examined. Remember the incident occurred in 2002. He has malformation of the brain. He has maldevelopment of the brain. He is beyond, with medical certainty, is the quote from the leading psychiatrist with incredible credentials, that he is mentally impaired and has been for most of his life, and probably schizophrenic.
Oh, that would be completely different. That would change my mind.
Add to that his wife, his first wife, Carol, testifies that when he came back from first Gulf War, he was a totally different human being. He had been dedicated to his children and to his family. He woke up every single night in screaming, sweating nightmares, not knowing where he was. He, of course, did not receive any treatment from the United States Army, from the United States government.
What was Carol's view on whether he should get the death penalty or not? Because I know that she felt that he was out to kill her.
More interesting than that.
I'm just curious. Do you know her view?
Yes. Unquestionably not executed.
Really? That's her view?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And more importantly than that, evidence was never allowed to be admitted in the courts or in the appeals.
Why? Well, that's wrong. I mean, obviously, that's relevant information.
And the jurors have a number of the jurors, and one for the record named Carol, what is her name? Elizabeth. For the record has stated, if they had known this, there is no question that they would not have voted for the death penalty.
Terry, let me ask you this. How about for Timothy McVeigh? Should he have gotten the death penalty?
I don't think that's the issue at the moment. I understand what you're saying.
No, but the issue is not just John Muhammad. The issue is, should anyone ever get the death penalty?
That's the big issue. But
I just want to know your answer. Would you have executed Timothy McVeigh?
In a minute. The point is, tonight they are executing a man who's mentally ill and who has been screwed by our justice system and screwed in all kinds of ways by the prosecuting attorney in Virginia and screwed by the Supreme Court
Maryland that's executing him.
No, it's not. It's Virginia.
Maryland also gave the death penalty.
It is the people of Virginia. Right, people of Virginia who are executing a man who is mentally ill.
And we're going to get to some callers because they're really lining up. And I'm going to say Mark, I'm no lover of John Muhammad or fan.
Me neither.
I'm not making excuses for what he did.
You wouldn't want to be in the same room with him, trust me.
I was as scared as anybody.
Right. And so I'm not, this is not a defense of him by any stretch of the imagination. But by the same token, if in fact he is mentally ill, then certainly, in my opinion...
If he's mentally ill, he shouldn't be executed.
But
I'll agree with that.
The bigger point being, with me, Terry, I was arguing, as long as we have a death penalty, we're going to go to calls, but as long as we have a death penalty, every now we're going to execute an innocent person anyway, and a mentally ill person, and a mentally retarded person. Okay, Najee, why don't we just go to line one? Najee's going to straighten us out here. Well, we're all confused.
First of all, would you execute Timothy McVeigh, Terry, or not?
I don't know enough about the case to know.
Okay. Well, why you might.
I don't know enough about the case.
There are circumstances where you could see executing
someone. Let me answer it
this way. Yes or no?
It's not a yes or no question. Let me put it this way. Emotionally, I understand, and emotionally, I probably would. And when these things happen, I am as ready and as overwrought as anybody else to see them shot immediately when I see horrendous crimes. Give me 2 seconds to think about it or a little bit of pause, and I think the idea, and I agree with your former employer here, the idea of a state, the people, removing themselves from the action completely and institutionally executing people is horrendous.
Najee, where are you out there?
I'm here.
All right, straighten us out, please, Najee. Hey there, Najee. All confused. We don't know what's happening.
Well, I just want to kind of bring another facet into the conversation and ask a question to the three of you. I have been researching over the past couple months the issue of human rights treaties and such, and particularly this phenomenon that some people call the American exceptionalism in the field of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the a particular covenant, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and optional protocol number 1, I believe, deals with the abolition of the death penalty for those who are party mm-hmm. to the treaty. Of which the United States is not. So I wanted to know if, you know, your opinions on would you support ratification of such treaty that would abolish the death penalty so to bring the United States into
the civilized world?
Yeah, and engage in the world in a more horizontal manner rather than the kind of, arrogant, narcissistic manner that kind of pervades our international policy. And also, with that, it would also kind of set a precedent to look at the other treaties that the United States, some call them the International Bill of Rights treaties, made up of the one I just mentioned, as well as the Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights.
Well, the next thing you know, he's going to want us to cut down on greenhouse gases. But hey, no,
it's obvious to me that Najee is a brilliant man.
Yep.
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
And the real question, you've got to ask yourself morally as well as judicial, in terms of justice, what the hell does execution accomplish other than simple revenge?
And
what
you can't does it be, and you cannot be a member of
it's
the
not
European
a deterrent.
Union. You can't be a member of the European Union, if I understand, if you still have the death penalty.
Right. It's proven not to be a deterrent. You know, we're just doing it because we want to do it, because we're mad, because we're hurt, because we're angry.
Sociopaths, people with anti-social
tendencies.
It's an anti-social personality disorder. Or sociopaths.
Right, right.
Do not have any fear of consequences by their psychological nature. Sociopaths have no fear of consequences.
Well, they don't want to be caught, Garland.
I didn't say they want to be caught.
Well, that's
they
the fear
have,
of consequences.
Yeah, they
they're
have
not
no,
aware.
No.
They're not aware of the consequences.
Sociopaths clinically, sociopaths have no fear of consequences whatsoever.
There's all levels of sociopaths.
So, how are you going to deter someone? Half the time,
I'm not even arguing it's deterrence. I agree with you, Terry.
Well,
it's about pure revenge. But I think that, first of all, in terms of the international treaties, America's not going to sign on because, 3/4 of Americans support the death penalty? What I want to do is take this political fact, which is the great majority of Americans support the death penalty, and I want to change the death penalty so that 99% of the people who are currently on death row are no longer on death row, so that we only limit it to the Timothy McVeighs of the world. If John Muhammad is mentally ill, then of course he shouldn't be executed.
Isn't there something terribly wrong with the society, 3/4 of it, that is in favor morally of revenge?
Well, and Mark, the thing about it is, and
I think
is
revenge
what I
is a very human emotion.
We're going to go Okay. Yes. And I would argue that I understand what Mark's saying. Mark is arguing for something that is impossible, and that is a system.
Not impossible.
Let me finish. That is a system that says we will only execute the guilty. We've tried it over and over. It's not going to happen, Mark. If we have the death penalty, we're going to execute some innocent people. The question always gets back to this. And is it okay?
And even if we don't execute them, we put them on death row for 20 some years and walk them down the Green Mile every year just for fun, you know, and go through this incredibly expensive court system to debate it over and over again. And again, with something like 80% of the people aren't convicted of the crimes anyway.
And if we find out 20 years, wait a minute,
80% of the people
What I'm saying, we're going to go to Andrew. If we find out, such as we did with the guy in Maryland who was accused of rape and murder, such as we found out in Florida, such as unfortunately we found out after they executed the guy in Texas, if we find out that they were innocent, which happens, there's no way to fix it. You can let them out
but
if
neither,
they have.
Neither of you have addressed my proposal. Timothy McVeigh, you think it's okay? You know, we don't. He's fine.
I'm not going to trade his life for an innocent man. Andrew, where
me
are
neither.
You?
Me
where
neither.
Where are you, Andrew?
Me neither.
Hello.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I was hoping we could take the conversation back to the idea of functionality. One of you guys spoke of the idea that society has this need for revenge, and I would like to critique that a little bit from the perspective of victims' families. I would argue that if we want to look at an indicator of if society has this need for revenge, maybe we should look at those that were actually harmed. Now, you know, we have
good
a
point.
Many victims' families want the execution. In fact, I would argue most of the time they do. Not always.
Well, let's hear him out. But let's hear him out.
Please let me finish.
Sure.
Yes, many times they want the execution. That's because they're told that they want that. But if you look at the research, if you look at people that have studied it, you'll find that months later, years later, after we stop caring about the case, they're depressed. They realize that another person died, and they don't feel good. They feel bad. Is what research tells us.
You're exactly right. You're exactly
right. Andrew, different people are different and have different reactions.
The idea is you can't look at if they want it or if they don't want it. You look at how they feel the next year. And if they're upset and if they're depressed, it serves no function.
And that's true. You're exactly right. Okay, we got the point. You're exactly right. There are studies, and I've just read some. As a matter of fact, in terms of what I've been doing with the John Allen Mohammed, it does not provide closure for the overwhelming majority of the people.
Closure is different.
Yes, I know that. I know that. So there's another reason, there's another functional reason not to do it. It does not provide closure. And in fact, as he is indicating, actually tends to increase the anxiety, particularly if they're ones who happen to go and watch the execution.
Now here's a logical
First of all, just to be clear, there are all kinds of family victims. There are all kinds of murder victims. They all have different opinions, from people who very much oppose the death penalty to people.
I don't think too many murder victims have opinions.
Families of murder victims, because they are victims.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
There are a number of them that feel like the people that testified against John Allen Muhammad, that if he is just gone, then they'll have a little bit of sanity, a little bit of safety. They won't have closure, because you can never have closure
when
a family member is murdered. But I don't think you can say all families of murder victims think it's a bad idea.
I didn't say that. The great majority of them support it, and I just think we have to accept that. They
fact.
May support it, but again,
they testify. If they don't, then usually someone doesn't get the death penalty.
As he pointed out, they don't. They testify because they think they're going to get closure. They think by the feeling of justice, by the enactment of justice, what they call justice, somehow they're going to get closure. And the fact is, they don't.
I don't
get
doubt
Mark,
closure.
Time out.
For
no,
a
I got
few,
throw,
you may
I
be right.
Throw
for one or two
guy.
Or three.
No, it's the majority.
It's a small minority.
Okay, we're going to go. We're now going to go. Now, I pulled these guys apart. I'm kind of wrestling around on the ground, so I'm out of breath.
Come on, Garland.
We're going to go to a public service announcement here while, I throw a splash of water on people and call in security.
Right, and you're sitting there in your suit and your tie and you're intimidating us.
We would like to acknowledge the following WPFW programmers for their recent community recognitions. Hodari Abdul Ali, producer and host of Wednesday Morning Jazz, received the first Humanitarian Excellence Award offered by the New Africa Islamic Community Center of Washington, D.C. Kenny Barnes, a producer and host of Spirit in Action, was named as 2009 Purpose Prize Fellow an honor for social entrepreneurs over 60 who are using their experience and passion to take on society's largest challenges. And Thomas Stanley, a producer and host of Thursday Late Night Jazz, who recently earned a doctorate of ethnomusicology from the University of Maryland. We thank each of these organizations for the recognition of Hodari Abdul Ali, Kenny Barnes, and Dr. Thomas Stanley's accomplishments. As always, we thank you for your support of WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, serving the collective needs and imagination of the community.
We back yet? Okay.
Here we are.
All right. And you're back to 89.3 FM WPFW. My name's Garland Nixon. I'm here with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Kester.
Every, and the D is for the Doctor of Democracy.
Democracy in today.
Dr. Demento.
No Doctor of Death.
But,
no.
Yeah, but
that's
tonight we're talking about the death penalty. But remember, every Tuesday we're here from 7 to 8 p.m. Every Tuesday night, it's called Dialogue. We have a fun time. Enjoy it. Tell your friends about it. If they're out of state, email them and tell them that it's streaming live on WPFW.org. We got a ton of callers.
It is streaming live.
We got a ton of callers, and we're starting with Teresa. We're going to try to get the.
Oh, we lost Teresa. All right, we'll go on to Sarah. I want to hear what Sarah has to say.
Who's next? Sarah?
Sarah, I think, is next, right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, Sarah. Hi,
Sarah. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this great subject. Surely killing is the worst thing that one can do. But we have to pay attention to the circumstances we are living in the present world. Our government is sending our troops to commit the horrifying killing in the name of fight with terrorism. And they themselves are committing terrorism, killing women, innocent women and children. No doubt, terrorism is something that needs to be dealt with. But killing innocent children and women, whether in Iraq or Afghan or in Palestine, these are the root of problem. When a soldier is exposed to all these crimes and can't do anything about it, and has a weak moral and a weak brain, or has some mental problem, can't deal with it.
We
have been witnessing this. It doesn't matter if it's a Muslim or a Christian. We have seen this. The Christian soldier did this. Palestinian American doctor who was upset about this going to Iraq.
You make a very good point there, Sarah, and that is this, you know, killing is killing, and part of the issue here, I mean, we can look at it, we're going to jump back to another call, but one of the things that you said was we trained a man to kill, and we sent him out, and we said, kill people, and when you get back, we'll give you some medals for killing people, and he came back, and according to what we've heard, he came back and he was still in a killing people kind of mode, and we couldn't snap him out of it. And certainly, you know, there's no excuse for things like this.
A minimum.
But that doesn't mean that if you look into the circumstances and understand what created these kinds of circumstances, that you can't get some understanding that it was more than just some guy that woke up one day and said, you know, I think I'll go out and kill some people. It doesn't sound like before he went to the Gulf War that he was going to do that.
A psychological fact is that once people commit the first kill, and the military knows this, once a person commits the first kill, the other kills become easier, and it becomes almost addictive.
I don't doubt that any of that is true.
And you take a person who is mentally damaged, and there's an awful lot of them in the military and in the police academies and everything else, because there's just percentage-wise, there's a lot of damaged people out there. One-third of all soldiers come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
And that's why we have to treat them. But I don't doubt that.
Maybe the better idea would be not to send them into the killing situation.
Let me suggest to you that unless you're advocating, unless you, Terry, and Garland, and Sarah are advocating disbanding the U.S. military and not responding when 5,000 of our citizens are killed and just letting them, I don't know, just letting people, Americans, be killed right and left, unless you're suggesting complete pacifism and be like the people of Tibet, You know, right? They didn't fight back, and they're not doing
well.
Too well,
here's what I would say.
I think the answer is the military is a necessary evil.
Right.
And but that's a different issue from the death penalty. All right. I think that's a very different issue. Well, it's a different one that maybe we should have on another day.
It's certainly related to this gentleman, but let's do this. Let's go to Michelle. I think Michelle has the answers here. Michelle, you've been patiently waiting. Yes.
Good evening.
Hi, Michelle.
Good evening, Michelle.
Hi. I would like to say something, and it does have something to do with your topic of John Muhammad, because there are news reports that are saying that he has a history of mental illness and that one of the mental illnesses was, in fact, schizophrenia. I think that American society, for some reason or another, we have not yet dealt with the whole question of mental illness and what to do with the mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, if you say, well, put them in an institution, you've got these people that will go out here and march and just throw themselves in front of cars and whatever else. Talking about someone, no, they should live around the regular people. They have rights, too. But the bottom line is this, I've always been against punishing the mentally ill. Punishing the mentally insane in the same way as you would a person who is deemed sane. And until I myself had a situation where I had some, I don't want to go into it, but I had what you might call some dealings with mentally ill people. Right. And I am telling you today that because a person is deemed schizophrenic or mentally ill, that does not mean that they do not know what they are doing. And it certainly doesn't mean that they don't have feelings about what they're doing. In other words, I myself personally have experienced them to be cunning, deceitful, underhanded, liars, evil people.
This is a hell of a way to talk about Congress.
People with evil intent and know full well what they're doing.
Well, here's
cover it up. Now, John Allen Muhammad put a hole in the back of a truck. He snuck around town.
That's right. He
did. He did. In fear for quite some time, and you're going to tell me that he didn't know what he was doing?
No, and in fact,
you are mentally ill, and that is your problem. You need to seek help.
Well, I'm not going to deny that I'm mentally ill. I think we're in agreement there.
Breathe, Michelle. Breathe.
No, but Michelle has a right to be angry.
Yes.
Let me be clear here. I fear sometimes that in this discussion, that not enough people like Michelle get heard. Not enough victims' families get heard. Not that people stop and don't recognize the true horror of what this man put in it. And a boy I don't believe in executing the boy, but he took the boy, you know,
took him along for the ride.
And ruined his life as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, killed lots of innocent people. Michelle has every right to be angry.
Which accomplishes
what? And let me say this on mentally ill people. The legal standard right now for whether someone is considered not guilty by reason of insanity, the legal standard right now is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. In other words, if you shoot someone that you think is a bear, and you're shooting a bear, and you actually think they are a bear, then you're not guilty of murder because you didn't have the legal intent to kill. What Michelle is saying, and again, and I don't claim to know all the facts about John Allen Muhammad. I'm not the jury. If I were, I would have known all the facts. But what Michelle is saying is that there are people who know what they're doing and do evil acts. And I'll be the first to tell you.
And I don't
that
think
if
that
someone
was
is mentally insane, they should not be executed. Now, I don't think they should be walking the streets because there are lots of violent people that are mentally insane.
Fine, let me get in
here. But if they know what they're doing,
let me get in here.
And we're going to go
I don't disagree necessarily with what you're saying, and I understand the anger, and I've felt it many times myself, and I've been in situations where I have let myself go with my anger. I'm not proud of that. But the point is, it's a philosophical, emotional, and spiritual issue. The question is, how do we deal with violence overall? How do we deal with crime overall?
Yeah.
How do we deal with criminals overall? I understand Michelle's anger. I have felt similar anger. I have been in similar rages. But what the hell does it accomplish? It doesn't accomplish anything. Somehow or other, our whole general tone, our philosophy, our social ethos has to change, that we do not worship the simple solution, which is just to punch you in the damn mouth because you punched me in the damn mouth.
And I'll add this. And again, And I understand the whole issue of mentally of the mentally ill and all the various aspects of why a person is executed and under what circumstances and things. That doesn't change the reality of executions. That doesn't change the reality that if you're black and you kill a white person,
that's right,
and you're white and you kill a black person, you got about an 80% higher chance of getting a death penalty.
And that
if
is
you're
wrong,
poor
and, that has to be changed.
And black, you but get death penalty for
dispute,
a traffic ticket.
I
but what I'm saying is this, Mark. So
our
and
system
I'm not saying,
does not work right, today. I agree
right,
with you on
so
that.
So what I'm saying is this. Under these circumstances that we live in today, not this pie in the sky way that we want it to be one day, if we can fix everything, under what we got today, it ain't working, it's wrong, we're killing innocent people, and Tony's going to straighten it all
the
out.
Question,
Tony,
the
we got to go to Tony.
The
we
question I have for Garland, for you, and for Terry, and for all the listeners, is not really, for me, the specific case of John Allen Muhammad, but whether there's any circumstance in any case where they can see it being justified.
Tony.
That's my only question.
Tony.
Oh, I wish I could give the line back to Michelle. I really liked her.
Yeah, me too. She had a little bit of fire there.
Yeah.
Talk to us, next Tony.
Hope she's breathing.
Talk to us, Tony.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say is I agree with her a lot. I mean, I'm not going to cry over this guy, John Muhammad. I'm against the death penalty, but he's sort of like there's wasted tears for this guy.
Well, you know, but let me ask you.
No matter how mentally ill he may be.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Under the circumstances, and I always go back to this, would you give your brother or sister or give your life up so that he can die? Would you take a member of your
Garland,
family?
That's not
but
a
it's a
fair.
No. This is a but.
No. What
guess
is
what?
Fair?
It's not fair. It is a fact. It's
what
not
is fair.
You
what?
See, the fair of there's nothing fair about the facts. The reality is, if we got the death penalty, we're killing innocent people.
Wait a minute.
Even
wait,
if
wait,
you wanted to die,
wait,
you're mixing apples
wait,
and
wait.
Oranges.
You're both a little bit off here, in my opinion.
Okay, Mark.
Sorry.
That's why we had three of us.
You're looking for this ideal world and straightening out the laws and everything else.
Oh,
but, but the point is, the reason you have a system that's out of whack, the reason you have a system where you've got three-quarters of black males being arrested, the reason that you have most of your mentally ill, in fact, in prison as opposed to getting mental treatment, the reason you have that is because we have a culture, a ethos that says revenge. What the hell does it accomplish to kill Timothy McVeigh? What the hell does it accomplish to kill John Allen Muhammad? Except I can say we got him. It accomplishes nothing. There's nothing wrong with putting somebody in prison for their life, locking them up in a cage, keeping them there forever.
And if you find out they didn't do it,
then
what do you know, Mark?
Out.
You can let them go.
Yeah.
I met a guy, a good friend of mine who was an attorney in Annapolis, got a guy off who was on death row
That's
and was
terrific.
Accused for rape and murder. Guess what?
That's
he couldn't have got him off after 17 years
and no
under
one
your
is,
way.
No
because
one
what a horrible
is
thing.
Arguing we execute innocent
well,
people.
Well, we're going to see what Aaron has to say. Well, you're arguing. Well, okay, Aaron.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aaron.
First of all, please let me finish my... Because his name is Muhammad, he should be executed, number one. And number two, Mr. Mark Levine bring the issue of 9/11. Very nice.
We don't want to go. Look, we're not going to 9/11, please.
Let me finish my talking, brother. Because you talk... I listen continuously, and now when I talk, listen.
Go
That's
ahead.
That's fair.
Ahead.
And also, another thing... How about that we are democracy pusher go to Iraq and let's say one of those examples with that Mr. Stephen Green who went to a house and raped a girl and killed all of her family and a friend of him raped that too. But he, if he will be in jail or we will put him on death row, then everybody demonstrates, no, those people were killed anyway, so why you kill this fellow? Now he got 5 years jail. What about this? About that. And also, Mr. Mark Levine is pushing that we go to Iraq because of 9/11.
No, I'm not.
Which is not true.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
And also,
I'm
and
not,
also,
and that's off topic. Let's talk about the death penalty.
Ago, another thing he said, which is, I'm sorry to say, but that was a fact, a lie, because he said, Bin Laden said 3 times or 4 times that he did it, which never say anybody. Nobody heard Bin Laden. You made
Bin Laden has said that he did it, but this is way off topic. So is Timothy McVeigh.
But you say that he said that. You say he said that. Bill O'Reilly said he said that. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate you calling.
One of the things I've read is the handwritten letter written by John Allen Muhammad about his innocence. I recommend you read it.
Yeah. Let's go to who's next.
Hold on. He says he's innocent? John Allen Muhammad says he wasn't the sniper?
He said about his innocence. But let's go to who's on next? Is that Abdul? Give us our next caller.
That was Abdur.
All right. Who's
Nick, I think, right?
Yeah. Let's go to our next caller.
Tasha. I'm sorry,
okay,
Tasha.
Okay, Tasha. Sorry about that, Tasha. Welcome to 89.3 WPFW. My name is Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry Kester. We're welcoming you, and thank you for calling.
And we're all in agreement.
Talk to us, Tasha. We're never in agreement.
We agreed that.
Are you not, Tasha?
This whole case has made me reevaluate my position. I am fundamentally against the death penalty. I really am. But this situation is such that, you know, if one of my family members were struck by this man, I would want the death penalty too. That being said, with the injustices in place in the system, I can't advocate it. I can't advocate the death penalty. But I also have fundamental problems with supporting the life of someone who has harmed me or my family member for the duration of their life.
Let me throw this in. The U.S. was a country, you know, we watched movies, and in the movies we'd see some third world country and they'd torture people, and we were like, my gosh, how barbaric is that? That's unthinkable. Torture! What kind of animals, heathens these people are! Then all of a sudden after 9/11, you had all these Americans running around. Well, you know, if we need to be protected, then we got to torture.
Garland, I don't support torture. No, let's talk about the death penalty, please.
My point is this. The question is, let's say you're for or against the death penalty, and when it gets closer to you, now you're for it, and then when it's someone else, you know, you're against it, it all comes back to the same thing. If you had a family member who was on death row and you kind of suspected they might not have done it, you wouldn't be so much in favor of the death penalty.
Of course not. Supports the execution of innocent
persons. But it happens.
The question is, how do you design a legal system? And maybe your answer is you can't. I think that is your answer.
Yes.
That you can't.
You can't.
But how do you design a legal system
and it hasn't worked
to
yet.
Make sure that someone absolutely, positively, 120% is guilty? I think in the case of Timothy McVeigh, I don't think anyone has suggested that he was innocent or insane or mentally retarded, including Timothy McVeigh, who will tell you, I killed for a reason, and it was a political reason, and I'm glad I did it, and I want to die.
Well, see, here's
when that happens, well, I say, let the guy die.
Right, but wait a minute. But the crux of this is not about the guilty. My discussion
exactly.
is not about the guilty.
Exactly.
Sure it is.
It has nothing
no.
to do with the guilty.
You
no.
are
no.
you are
no,
saying
no 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 no. no. Forget the guilty.
You're saying
They're
that you can't ever be 100% sure.
My point is this. Nothing to do with the guilty.
And I
There's
have nothing to do with the innocent.
In Texas, that was innocent. My only point,
That's
and I
terrible.
And I'll say this again.
Why
if
not
we,
just lock them up?
Right. If we execute
what difference does it
one
make?
Innocent person, one innocent person, if we execute one innocent person every 10,000 years, it's not worth having a death
and
penalty.
And you haven't answered, and nobody else
Can
has
we
answered.
Lock them up in solitary?
You haven't
Can
answered,
mistreat them?
You haven't answered what do you gain as a society,
do
as
we have
a
another
country, as a culture, as an individual by killing
well,
somebody.
Well, certainly.
You know that a very dangerous, awful, evil human being is no longer on
You can
on
do
this
the
planet.
Same thing with prison.
No, you can't.
Yeah, he's living
yes,
in Austin.
You can. No, yes,
not.
You
yes,
can.
He is
I think prisons are too cushy
hey,
for
Mark,
people like
oh,
that. I'm
for
sorry.
Sake,
I would,
you I obviously have not
hey,
been
Mark,
in prison recently.
I also haven't killed dozens of innocent people.
Have you
people.
Spent any time in prison or jail?
I've been to a prison, yeah.
Have you been in one? As a
I've
prisoner?
Never been in. No, I've never been a
Try
prisoner.
Try it.
And I would argue
I don't plan to ever do that, Terry.
Or you don't have to commit a crime to wind
well,
up in prison.
We're gonna go to a caller now, but I would argue that horrible evil yeah. person is still on Earth, and he's, I think, living in Austin, Texas now, building his library. Sarah!
Hi, Sarah.
I would send Dick Cheney to prison,
Sarah?
But that's another issue. Go ahead, Sarah.
No. Okay, Sarah.
I'm afraid you have a double standard. On one hand, you think whoever kills deserves to be killed. On the other hand, I'm going to ask you a question. How we are accepting Ehud Olmert, who is responsible for death of 1,400 innocent people in Gaza.
I don't think that's true, and I also think it's off topic.
The red carpet and
I mean, if you want to do a show on Israel, we'll do one. My firm belief is that every country has the right to self-defense.
And you put a blockade on Goldstone Report. How do you describe that?
I'd be happy to talk about that with you, but that's not the topic today.
And see, the greater issue, because you could say, well, you know, when George Bush made a decision to drop a bomb on the El Mansour neighborhood in Iraq, knowing that he was going to wipe out every family there, but he thought Saddam Hussein was in a restaurant. He wiped out every family there.
I think
you could make an argument that is mass murder.
No, I think you have to be very careful in war not to kill civilians, but I also don't think that you can say that we will not fight back and we will let our own children be murdered. If we might kill a civilian in return. If we'd done that, then obviously we would have lost World War II.
Our family's civilians, so we may kill some civilians to ensure that our civilians don't. But we better go to line two.
I believe in the right of self-defense. It's in the UN Charter.
Abdul? Line two.
Yeah, hello.
You have an
all right. Straighten us out, man. This is a very, very great conversation we're here. There's a lot of emotion, and you're on 89.3 FM, WPFW.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, look, I want to participate in this conversation. There's a lot to say about the subject, the death penalty, because there have been some wrong things done to some people who have been accused of doing things, and it has had to do with good prosecuting attorneys and the defense people haven't had good lawyers and all that kind of thing.
You're right.
But I want to say something else that I hope I don't get in trouble. Long in the history of this country, in this society, black people have been victims of the death penalty for years.
Amen. It's true.
And the name for it goes way back. It was called lynching.
Lynching, absolutely.
And they didn't have a lawyer or nobody. It was just a mob that said or felt they did something and didn't have any defense or anything else. And then as it grew, it was another form of lynching where they didn't have good lawyers or no lawyer and could get convicted of a crime that they many times didn't do. So it's so many things to say, and I want to say something about Michelle. Michelle was a little fired up, but I would like to say that she should be fired up about her former president who has killed some people and hasn't gone to jail for it.
Thank you.
Let's
next, we're going to go. We got a bunch of callers. We're not a lot of time. We're going to try to get everybody in. We're not going to take any more callers, but we want to hit the last couple before we finish running our yaps. Michael, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
All right, Michael.
Hey, I just want to say that, you know, I really appreciate you guys' show.
Thank you.
Guys are like a model of, you know, kind of passionate civility in arguing stuff out.
Decorum, too.
I just want to get to kind of what Mark is saying as far as, you know, trying to have something where, you know, as long as the person admits it, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, when you have a system in which we not only condone torture, but in certain cases actually practice it or send others out to be tortured, then you can get all sort of admissions. The things that people really haven't done.
Let me tell you something. If they just threatened torture, I would talk. I would pretty much admit the Lincoln assassination.
If they just threatened torture, we should throw out any confession with even the possible threat of torture. Absolutely.
Okay, let's Michael. We've got another Michael on.
I hope we
heard. Is there other Michael on?
Hello, this is Nick again. You called me off the first time. Hey, Mark, did the 7 black and Hispanic boys in the Central Park jogger case not admit and sign on paper that
there's a problem, Nick, and that is I'm sorry, but you're only allowed to call one time per show. Thank you very much, but please, you're only allowed to call one time per show. I know everybody wants to talk to us a lot, but one time a show is unfair. Do we have another Michael on the line?
How you doing?
There we go. We wanted to get you in.
Okay, this is Michael from Southern Maryland. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're wonderful, man.
We're doing fine.
We're out of
breath. A quick statement. I'm not going to call out anyone in particular, but I want to say a couple things really quickly. So I'm going to talk real fast.
Okay.
Any discussion about anyone's perceived or death, which is coming tonight, anyone else but this gentleman is off topic, Mr. Levine. I'm talking about this man. If anyone hurt me or anyone I know in the heat of passion, you best believe he would not walk this earth another day. I would hope there are people who are not so close to such a crime who would get to me, Mike, you're not going to do anything. Calm yourself. Someone would get to me. But in the heat of passion, absolutely, take him. But I don't want a world like that. So I'm going to answer your question, Mr. Levine. Under no circumstance is killing anyone acceptable.
Thank you.
I'd love to talk to you at length. Let me ask you a quick question, Mr. Levine.
Sure, go ahead. You call me Mark, by the way.
If in this country, hold your tongue for a second. Try that.
I just said you can call me Mark. I'm trying to be friendly and you're jumping down my throat.
Hey, Mike,
Terry.
You still be for the death penalty.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
If people like you were killed disproportionately in this country, as has been happening historically here, would you still have the same point of view?
Michael, let me say this. I know the case, the Griggs case, the one that said, as Garland pointed out very clearly, that, in fact, a black person who kills a white person is much more likely to get a death penalty than a white person who kills a black person. That offends my sensibility very strongly. And it tells me we have a real problem with the current death penalty system. And I would overhaul the current death penalty system, as I said, so that probably 99% of the current people on death row would no longer be
you're
on
making
death
the
row.
Assumption.
It might be
you're
98%.
Making the assumption that the system is somehow they're separate right. from the society.
I think
the problem is the society and the culture. It is not a systematic problem. It is a cultural problem. It is a country that is built upon the idea of my way or the highway, my land or your land. That's all.
Wow,
there is
but
to
look at this. You guys are leaving one thing out.
What's that?
One thing out. You're leaving something out. You're leaving something out, and that is they don't have the death penalty in Europe. And look how much more crime they have. Wait a minute.
Oh, no, they don't.
The problem in America has
to do with
Garland, the problem in America has to do with guns and drugs and our drug policy, which
now
put people in jail.
Culture.
Right?
Now he's talking culture.
Right?
Now he's talking culture.
The death penalty is going to fix
that. That's it.
That's all true.
The reason.
But at the end of the day, all right, and I don't think it's just about John Muhammad. John Muhammad,
me neither. It's about the innocent people.
I agree that if I were on the jury, I would sit, I would weigh the evidence. If I believed he was mentally ill, I would not vote for the death penalty. That's and I don't claim to know all the situation, but I think the answer that I'm not going to accept is that it's never right.
That's,
I think that there are times.
That's what the people.
Very
Michael
rare times
just, Michael
when it
just
is right.
defined Let's, it correctly. When in a moment of passion, we all would. If somebody walked in here and even threatened you, Mark or Garland, I would do everything I could to prevent that.
Right.
And if I had to kill them in the process, then that might happen too, in the heat of passion.
Right.
But our society, our state, our government cannot live in the heat of passion.
Before we finish out, we must acknowledge that this madhouse is supported by some very fine people. We have Cassandra Giddings, Jasmine Blackman, and T. Sturdivant back there on the boards,
working
on the ones
very,
and twos,
very hard,
feverishly to contain
we do
this
appreciate
insanity.
It. We can continue this discussion. There are a number of people who are very upset by what I had to say. If you are upset, all you have to do is email me. We can continue this discussion.
This ain't going to be pretty.
You can go to my website, which is it's radioinsightscoop.com. Nobody remembers that. MarkLevineRadio.com will get you there. MarkLevineRadio.com. Talk to me. Listen to some of what I have to say. Let's have a dialogue.
And my name is Garland Nixon, and Facebook me.
You can Facebook me, too.
GARLANDNIXON. And I got an idea, guys. Why don't we put up a Facebook page for the Raucous Caucus?
Oh, man, that would be.
This week we're going to put up a Facebook page for the Raucous Caucus.
That'd be so damn sexy, I'll tell you. That would be unbelievable. Anyway, Terry D. Kester here. You've got to listen tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to hear the attorneys involved with John Allen.
Wow, what time?
At 10 o'clock, and your opinion will change.
On 89.3 FM. 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Tell all your friends you can't miss that. They can listen online at WPFW.org.